and welcome to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. I'm your host, Dr. Linda Mental, the relationship doctor, and I'm here along with my co-host, Chris Weigel. We're every weekend, we're here, we're doing life together, and as always, we're just really glad you've joined us.
That's right, Dr. Linda. Happy weekend, and I was thinking, I don't remember if we've ever done a relationship show on friendships.
Wow, I think you're right. We've done a lot of shows.
Lots of relationships, but
yeah,
nothing
I don't think we've covered. We haven't covered friends, have
right.
we?
Right. So today is the day. Let's do that.
Okay. And we know that friendships are really important in our life, right? There's a lot of songs about friendships. Before the show, we were singing one. I was singing one. You were trying to join in.
I was trying to stop.
You were singing a very high part, and I know you're a bass. So it sounded a little funky.
Oh, no, it sounded great.
It did.
Yeah, it sounded
it did.
Good.
We're going to sing one on Instagram later.
That's right.
Well, yeah.
Carole King did a song called You've Got a Friend,
I know,
of course.
It's one of my favorites.
Right.
Didn't James Taylor cover that, though?
He did.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Barbara Streisand, People Who Need People.
Sing it for us.
Nope, not going to do that. But and then, of course, the Beatles, I Get By With a Little Help from My Friends. And they all say a little bit about the value of friendship.
Well, I'm serious, Chris, since all of us here, you, me, the producer in there, we all sing in a choir. We are going to put something on Instagram singing one of those songs. We're going to do it. So look for that on Instagram. Here's a quote, though, from Aristotle. This is interesting. So way back, he said, in poverty and other misfortunes of life, true friends are a sure refuge. They keep the young out of mischief. They comfort and aid the old in their weakness, and they incite those in the prime of their life to noble deeds. Isn't that good?
They had friends back when Aristotle was around, too.
They always had friends.
That's right. Well, we hear stories about friends and how they help each other, and we've got a few to share from Reader's Digest.
So here's a woman who said, my fiancé walked out of me 3 days before our wedding.
Mm.
Sounds like a movie, Runaway Bride.
Right.
Now, every year on the anniversary of the day I would have been married, my best friend texts me a hilarious picture reminding me that I dodged a bullet, and his humor makes a hard day even better.
I can only imagine what that picture is.
Yeah, there were some other descriptions of that I took out.
Right, probably good, yeah. Well, here's another one. After my wife of 44 years died, I didn't feel the urge to socialize, but that didn't stop my friend Tony from inviting me to join a group of guys who got together every Thursday for dinner. And I told him I wasn't ready. Well, then he called again the next week, and again I said no. He kept calling every week, and finally I said, okay, I'll go. Anything just to keep him from calling me every week. It's been now 6 years since, this man says, since my wife has died, and thanks to Tony, I've been going to dinner every week with a gang that we've dubbed Romeo.
Oh, I love that. Mm. That's really great. Now, just think really how much that must have meant to that guy to have his friends continue to pursue him. Get him out there, get him talking, and get him involved in life again. That's great. Here's one more. Because we are all over the country, my three closest friends and I keep in touch via group texting. We share daily struggles, complaints, triumphs, and most of all, a lot of laughs. These special ladies respond non-judgmentally to whatever I tell them, allowing me to be as vulnerable as I please. Mm. Conversely, it's a blessing to help them through the difficult times they have in life. Having such receptive friends has taught me that life is more fun and more meaningful when I share myself with others.
There's so much value in being able to be vulnerable with people.
There is.
Have them not judge you for that. That's really great. And here's one more. This person says, today is my birthday, and I know my friend Linda is making me a cake. Sometimes when you're an adult, no one thinks to do that for you.
You know what? Are you sure that that's another person's story?
You can make me a cake if you'd like.
I thought you were talking about me. Is this your birthday?
Not my birthday.
I'm not the Linda you're talking about.
You're not the Linda. No, that's the story I read online. But feel free to make the cake whenever
you'd like.
I know,
right. But it's true. When you're the adult, if you don't have anybody in your life, who is going to make you a birthday cake?
Right, true.
You have to go to some restaurant and get one.
Wow.
But I think it's nice if you have a friend. So friendships are vital for our very well-being. But, you know, here's the thing. They take time to develop, and they cannot be artificially created. Mm. How many good friends, I mean really good friends, Chris, do you have in your life?
I thought about this before the show and sat down, and I thought, you know, I've got four, maybe five really good friends that I've collected over, you know, a lifetime that are still there, and it's sort of a core friendship.
That's actually quite a few.
Mm.
You know, a lot of people have a handful of friends like you're talking about.
And right.
Are these people you could call in a crisis, or you could call them if you needed something?
Oh, yeah. They never answer the phone, but I can call them.
Well, you know, it's really quality over quantity when we're talking about friendship. Right. So it's good to cultivate a diverse network of friends and acquaintances, but you really want to have those few people like you're talking about who you could call. And I'm sure your very, very close friends do pick up the phone and do talk to you when
they do,
no matter what's going on.
Well, do you think in today's culture that we simply don't take time to develop really good friends? It seems like everyone's too busy.
I think you have to be so intentional about this today. And there are stages in your life, and you're in one of those stages. You have young kids, you're doing activities, and you do a lot with the church.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an automatic kind of place where friends naturally kind of gather.
Right.
So I think there are times in your life where it's easier to develop friendships. Certainly when you make a move and you've got kids, that gets you right in with other people.
Yeah.
And then there are other times in your life where it's a little bit harder. I know we had a Sunday school class at our church for the kids who were out of undergrad and maybe out of graduate school and were just in that in-between stage, and they really didn't meet a lot of people. And so we were trying to build friendships in that class because of that. So there are times, but it does take some intention to do that. And that's why we put together that class to try to get those young adults together so they could meet each other.
You know, friendships aren't like family. We're stuck with them.
Yeah.
For better or for worse, you're stuck with your family.
That's true.
But with friends, we choose them, and you wouldn't go months without speaking to your spouse, hopefully.
We have a show for that. It's called Relationship Repair.
Right. You might go that long without contacting a friend, but there is a chance of rejection when it comes to your friends because they may not choose you.
That's true. There is a bit of risk involved, isn't there, when you're trying to find a friend. And so you kind of know at the beginning if you're clicking with someone or not. But even if you feel that way, the other person may not feel that way. We tend to find people who have similar values, backgrounds, traditions, and viewpoints like us.
How does social media affect making friends?
You know, joining a chat room, going online in an online community, it might help you make those connections. It might make you feel a little less lonely when you're doing it. But the research suggests that the use of social networking sites doesn't necessarily translate to a larger offline network or closer offline relationships with those people in that network.
Hmm.
And you got to remember to be cautious about who you're telling things to, because
right.
as you're trying to develop friends, you might get some very strange people or people who could even be predators. So I think, unfortunately, most of those friendships are more virtual than they are real, and a lot of those cyber bonds are somewhat superficial, although there are people who can get deeply engaged with each other online. But I still think social media can never replace that authenticity and intimacy of face-to-face relationships.
And with any friendship, there can be a dark side.
I know, friends can make you miserable. I had one who kind of turned on me, and it was not a good time in my life. And so if you don't choose the right people, you can really get yourself into a bad place. Or there are times when things happen in a friendship and it turns bad.
Well, you know, friends can also influence you in the wrong way. And if your friends are doing something bad or harmful, you might be likely to do that as well, a fact that many drinking buddies can attest to.
So, you know, you're going to someday be a parent of a teenager.
Right.
And that's always the biggest concern, right? That they're going to get with people that are going to influence them the wrong way.
Mm.
So that's one of the reasons why good friends are really, really important. And friends can stress you out. They can get in the way of some of your other important relationships if they're too needy or they're too dependent on you. So be ready to say no to friends who disappoint you. I'm not saying don't ever try to work things out, but I'm saying if over and over it's just too stressful and things are not going well. Friends who betray you, those are the ones that you have the most trouble with, I think. So try to work things out, but if the person is unwilling and the relationship is really troublesome, maybe you have to move on. You know, that's one thing you can do with friends you can't do with your family.
That's right.
You're stuck with them.
Well, even with the problems that come with friendships, the benefits outweigh the problems. Stay with us as we discuss the surprising benefits of good friends more after the break.
Conflict is a part of every healthy relationship. How you deal with conflict is what will either grow or destroy relationships. Do you avoid? Maybe you become highly emotional and then regret what you said or did. Getting control of our emotions is not always easy, but it is possible. Hi, this is Dr. Linda Mental, and I wrote the book We Need to Talk in order to help all of us deal better with conflict. We Need to Talk, available at bookstores and online where books are sold.
We Welcome back to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. And before we get back to our discussion about the importance of friendships, I want to remind you that Dr. Linda blogs weekly. She has a free monthly e-newsletter and keeps you aware of all things about relationships on her website, drlindamental.com. And Dr. Linda, before the break, we were talking about how friendships can go bad or sour, but it's still worth trying to find that good friend.
I think so, don't you?
Oh, it definitely, yeah.
Have you had any relationships that really went bad?
Oh, they go terrible. But
really?
But then you do try to see what you can make out of it.
And you've been able to repair them?
Yes.
I've had one in my life that really was upsetting to me and sad, where the person wouldn't repair with me. So that one was really hard. But here's the thing. A major study found of all these adults that they looked at that if they had close, long-term friends, that they did better in life just overall in their well-being, that it enhanced their mood, it made them function better, they had better emotional health, and they had better physical health.
Wow.
So big benefits. Now, it's interesting, Chris. I read an article about this author, Tom Rath. That's a terrible name for a name. It doesn't start with a W,
but still.
He wrote this book called Vital Friends, The People You Can't Afford to Live Without. And in that book, he talks about that if you ask people, why are you homeless? Or why did your marriage fail? Or why do you overeat? They often say it's because they don't have any friends. They have this poor quality of life. They don't have friendships. They don't have people supporting them. They feel outcast or they feel loved. So it's not something I would have thought to be at the root of people feeling so failed in places of their life.
I didn't realize friendship was that big of a deal for that matter.
That's why we're doing the show, because it is really much more important than we give it credit for. So in this big study that he did, he found some other results that were kind of surprising. So one of them is, and I can remember this from college, if your best friend eats healthy, you're five times more likely to have a healthy diet yourself.
Nope. When my friends get together, we all go out and eat.
I know, but do you eat well?
No.
Well, see, then you're going to eat better. That's what I'm saying. That can influence you negatively. I'm trying to give the positive spin.
I see. Okay.
But this is the thing. If you're around a bunch of people and they're eating poorly, you just join in.
Right.
And eat poorly. So you got to find healthy eating friends.
No, that's no fun.
It's not the quality you're looking for, right?
Right. Would you believe that married people say friendship is more than five times as important as physical intimacy within the marriage?
That's a big statement.
Big figure, yes.
But I, you know what? I do think that the friendships do support a marriage overall, that if a couple's doing well, it does help to have some outside people to talk to. Especially, do you remember that show we did on how women like to talk it out when they have problems and men are like, okay, we have a couple words and we're done? So you could imagine that if you had friendships outside where you could really talk in depth, that would probably sustain some of that couple stuff as well.
It wouldn't. That's true.
Yeah. So here's one. Do you have a best friend at work?
Depends on who's listening to the program today. You know what? I wouldn't say that about work. We get along great. We have a great dynamic, but there, I wouldn't say really any best friend relationships there.
Okay. Then you're in trouble, because here's what the study says. It says that you have a 1 in 12 chance.
Mm-hmm.
You could be the one. You are probably the one.
It's me. Yeah.
Yeah. You have a 1 in 12 chance of feeling engaged in your job. But if you have a best friend at work, you are 7 times more likely to feel engaged in your job.
Oh.
So it looks like this kind of, idle chatter we do, checking with each other, talking to each other, that's a strong predictor of whether you're going to have satisfaction and you're going to be productive at your job.
Can you imagine if my best friend was at work, we would eat all day? We would be in really bad shape.
But you would like your job. You'd really engage,
right,
as well as with the food, it sounds like, in that time.
Now, I do want to know about this. The author of this study recommends that we do a friendship audit. Now, that reminds me of the IRS, and don't like the way that sounds.
It's kind of a scary word, isn't it?
It is, audit.
Mm-hmm. It's not a scary type of audit. All he's saying and suggesting is that we think about our friendships and we start to think, how many people do we have? Do we have people that we can really count on?
Mm-hmm.
Are there different types of friendships that we have? And then he says, look at your friends, kind of do an audit of them, and then sharpen those friendships and see what you can do to maybe strengthen them. For instance, is this my dependable friend and can I really count on her? Or is this my most trusted, intimate friend and can I tell him anything with confidence? So the idea is to audit your friendships and see if you need to make more of an effort in those friendships.
Now, I'm not sure how to ask this question, but I'll try it too anyway. Does this mean that we are judging our friends or doubting their worth because we can't think of a reward? or some need that they meet?
Yeah, it could kind of sound like that when we're talking about it, but I don't think that's what he means. I think he means that close friends usually like each other for who they are in themselves, not for what they deliver. But in fact, you know, it's a biblical saying, it's better to give than receive, right? But he's saying, look at that and try to strengthen those relationships that you have. Don't just look at what they can give you, but those people that you naturally do have as friends, are there ways that you can maybe make them better? Or maybe you need to find a few more friends.
What would you say would be a good way to look for friends? Are we talking an audition, maybe a tryout? A type of thing.
We could do American Idol Friends, right, yeah, or something, or The Voice. We could call it The Friend.
The Friend.
And we could have people come on, right? Well, here's what we look for. We look for three things that you want to look for in a friendship. Somebody you can talk to. Seems kind of obvious, but you got to find someone who makes good conversation with you. Mm-hmm. Someone you can depend on. So that's a biggie with friends. I think the dependability.
Who wants a worthless friend?
I think what I mean by dependability is, you know, have you met people where they say, oh, yeah, I'm going to be there. I'm going to help you. And then they don't show up. So that dependability part is really, really important. Mm-hmm. And then someone to just enjoy. So you want to have fun with the person. Good friends are usually open. They're usually genuine. They're honest with you. They even tolerate your flaws and the things that maybe are weaknesses in you. They appreciate differences in the relationship. And you can actually criticize each other in a really good friendship if the criticism is meant to help.
Now, if you're lucky enough to find a good friend to go an entire life with you, that person may become closer than a family member.
Yeah, and I had a friend like that for 18 years who was with me through, and we moved, but it's a little bit harder when you move. But, you know, we were at the birth of each other's child. I was in the birthing room when she gave, and she was in with me, and we've gone through too many dance classes and too many dance recitals together and music recitals and weddings and births and all of that, Chris. And when you get in with a relationship like that, you know, that person is going to just rank right up there because they're really doing life with you. And it does affect your physical health even when you have a friend like that.
And what's different between that type of friend and a family member is you chose them and they chose you.
Yeah.
So that seems like that bond would be greater there. Well, let's go over some of the benefits of putting time and energy into friendships. The payoffs should really make friendships worth doing.
So one thing is, and this is a great result, that good friendships make you age better.
Hmm.
So I'm all for that now that I'm aging. Of course, everybody's aging. But according to a survey, women over 60, those who engage in their social relationships with their friends, do better. They're happier as they age.
Now, we've talked about this part, and I told you where I stand with my friends. But friends can help you achieve your weight and fitness goals.
Are they doing that?
Not my friends.
You need new friends.
But in general, right.
Help. Chris needs new friends. It's a bulletin we're putting out.
Right. Well, the point is, it's the encouragement and the accountability to a friend. It goes a long way to boost your willpower.
Well, see, that's what all those programs are. You know, it's like AA having a sponsor. You got somebody who's accountable.
Right.
Same thing with all those dieting programs. They want you to have somebody you can talk to. It's what all those chat rooms now are about and all the self-help that they offer. So they're looking for that kind of support. And happiness is catching. If you have a friend you consider to be happy, you're going to most likely be happy with that person.
So it's contagious.
It's contagious. So don't you think?
It is, yes.
Yeah, I think it is.
It's hard to be sad when the person next to you is glad
to be
there.
Always happy.
Right.
That's right.
At our church, we have a group of friends and a small group with young children. And building the circle of friends does make you happy.
Don't you think that's made a big difference in your life?
It's made going to church more fun.
Yeah, and it's more you're more connected to people because you have that group. And studies show that if you're a leader in a small group, you're happier than those people who are not leaders. Now, they should use that to recruit leaders. You're going to be happier if you become a leader rather than someone who just sits back and is participating but is not taking the lead. Helps build relationships.
Well, Dr. Linda, we're about to go to a break. How about one more benefit found in friendships?
So you know me. I'm always talking about the medical side of all this, right?
Right.
So here's a great one. Friendships boost your immune system because when you engage with other people, those positive emotions that we just talked about actually turns around and helps you. It helps de-stress you. And as a result of that, it boosts those good things in your body and it builds up your immune system. So you're less likely to get sick. You're going to be less likely to have depression. You're going to not have such high blood pressure because of that. And you might even keep your weight down better. So studies have even found that older adults with a very rich social life are likely to live longer than their peers that have fewer companions.
That's an amazing
Old
study.
Old people need friends.
Right. Well, we need to take a break, but when we come back, let's talk about how we can build friendships. Stick around as there is more to come right here on the Dr. Linda Mental Show.
Did you know you have a conflict style? Everybody does. Are you a conflict avoider? Maybe you don't avoid, but instead react intensely. Or perhaps you are a great negotiator. Dr. Linda Mento offers a free conflict quiz when you visit her website, www.drlindahelps.com. Click on the picture of her latest book, We Need to Talk. Then have a friend or your partner take the quiz too, and see if you can navigate conflict successfully.
Find out what your conflict style is. Click on the cover of Dr. Linda's latest book at drlindahelps.com.
You're listening to the Dr. Linda Mental Show, and Dr. Linda has written numerous books, and you can check these out on her website, drlindamental.com, so you can keep up with lots of interesting things to know about making relationships work.
I'm impressed that you said that like you did, because we were laughing before you started, and I thought you were going to laugh your way through that.
Well, during the break, we had lots of fun,
we
had to pull it together to get
this last segment
of the show. That's right. Well, Dr. Linda, before the break, we were talking about what to look for in a good friend, but the question is, what can I do to be a good friend to someone else?
That's a great question. So I think, number one, it's the basic, most basic thing you learned when you were a kid. Did your mom tell you a couple of things that you should do to have somebody like you?
Be nice.
Be nice.
Right.
And my mom said, be kind.
Mm-hmm.
So to be kind to people is one of the ways that you will get people to like you.
Right.
So I think that's just acts of kindness, expressing gratitude, telling people that you appreciate them, because the criticism and the negativity just draws down and draws away from people. They don't want to be around that.
It's such a basic response, because when you ask a young kid, well, why don't you like them? They say they're not nice.
They say they're mean.
Right, and they're mean.
Mm-hmm. Right. How about be a good listener?
What did you say? I'm sorry. Excuse me. A good listener, that's right.
Well, we can tell why Chris is not my friend. No, it's not true. Be a good listener. Just, you know, somebody who can hear your story, can take the time, even if it's just on a text message. Mm. But in person, the person who gives you really good eye contact, that their body language looks like they're really into what you're saying and paying attention. Those are the kinds of things that make people, again, they're drawn to you when you're listening well. I get this on airplanes. Mm. I don't know what it is, but people talk to me on airplanes all the time. And like, they're telling me their whole story. I traveled last weekend and I sat next to a woman who judges dogs. I've never met anybody who judges dogs.
What an opportunity.
She doesn't judge poodles, though, which is what my dog is.
Right.
But she was telling me the craziest stories. And I kept telling to her, I have to finish my assignment here. And she goes, oh, I got to tell you one more story. So apparently I was a good listener.
Dr. Linda, what about opening up, building intimacy with your friends by opening up about yourself? And it's honestly tougher for men to do this.
Are you able to do that, though, with your good friends?
Yes.
Have you been able to? What's different about that, that you're able to open up to some guys and tell them some things?
I think in our case, we've spent so much time together. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Being vulnerable is easy because we all know the truth.
Yeah, and there's trust. There's got to be trust because you spent time. So see, that spending time part is really, really important. And that does relate to trust. And that is one of the really key factors in friendships. If you can't trust somebody, it's hard to keep them as your friend. Another thing, Chris, is how about being available to that person? Or be there when they need you. Or this is the kind of person where I need something and somebody will go and do it for me. And just step right in and do it.
I remember a situation with a friend of mine, and it involved his family. And I thought, to be here right now and dealing with this is very awkward. Makes you feel weird. But it's what he needed.
Yeah.
And he was my friend, so I had to be there for him.
And, you know, we're kind of self-centered. And a lot of times we'll think to ourselves, I really don't have the time to do that, or I don't really want to spend time with that person. But then every time I go and I do it, I think, okay, that's why we're here on earth. We're here to sort of be there for people and help people.
How can friends, good friendships, help manage anxiety?
Well, don't you think just talking to people and getting feedback from your friends and saying, you know, you do something really embarrassing and you think, oh, that was horrible. And then your friend goes, it really wasn't that bad.
Or they say, yes, it was. It was pretty bad.
But then they help you through that. Say, next time it can be better. So they're always encouraging you along the way.
You know, when we look at Scripture, the Bible is full of friendships.
I think one of the really strengths of the Christian life is that when we do look at the Bible, there are so many times when we look at great friendships in the Bible, and God really emphasizes relationships and wants us to be in a fellowship with other people. That's what the church is all about.
Well, even Jesus had close friends. I mean, he spent his days here on earth during his ministry with his disciples. And among the disciples, he had three very close friends in Peter, James, and John.
And he called John the beloved.
That's right.
So I always wondered, did they get jealous of each other? I wonder in the Last Supper if they were sitting around and kind of thinking. Well, they were. Remember, they were asking questions about who's the best and who's going to be. All through the ministry of Jesus, they were asking those questions. So they were normal, like all of us. You know, Chrissy even commissioned John to care for his mother, Mary, after his death. Although Jesus was a friend to a lot of people, he appeared to have a very special affinity for John.
That's true, he did. And the book of Proverbs has many wise sayings on aspects of friendship. Proverbs focuses on the importance of developing friendships based on the right reasons.
Yeah, so it's interesting. Proverbs is that, you know, book that always gives us all this wisdom. And it does say that wealth makes many friends, which we can see today in the celebrity culture, can't we? But the poor is separated from his friend. Many entreat the favor of the nobility, and every man is a friend to one who gives gifts. So they're talking here about the wrong motive for having a friend. Really what we need to do is look at the scripture in Proverbs that said, a true friend is one who will sacrifice for his brother, not one who will sacrifice his brother for gain. So there's a big difference here. A true friend is really somebody who's going to be there for you all the time in adversity, like we've been saying. And we learn from Jesus that a true friend is deeply committed to a relationship. Notice Jesus Christ describing his commitment. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friend. That's the verse found in John 15:13. Jesus not only said this, he lived it. It's quite a challenge for us to follow this wonderful example that he gave us.
And, you know, some people believe that to be a friend to someone, what you should never stand up to or disagree with them. But there are times when a true friend needs to tell his brother where he is wrong.
So Proverbs 27:6 says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. So friends should assist and strengthen each other by helping each other grow and improve. That's 27:17. People simply do better by working together. Two really are stronger than one. That's from Ecclesiastes. So there's a lot in the Bible about friendship. To sum it all up, God didn't design us to be totally independent from each other. His way is interdependence of close relationships and of working together as a well-trained team to accomplish the goals he sets before us. All of us need to actively seek, develop, and maintain friendships from a godly perspective and motive. We will be better people as a result of that. So remember, it's never too late to build new friendships or reconnect with old friends. Investing time in making friends and strengthening your friendships can pay off in better health and a brighter outlook for years to come. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Many thanks to our producer and social media director, Norm Mintel, our engineer, and my co-host, Chris Weigel, who makes this show a conversation. From all of us here at Faith Radio, we'll talk to you next weekend. In the meantime, remember, we're here, we're doing life together, and it's better when you don't have to do it alone. Doing life together. Well, thanks for listening to this conversation from the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and helping us grow the impact of the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. Also, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player, and you'll never miss a show.